Welcome to Pentecost, friends. Welcome to this great feast of the church. This day, Pentecost, is truly the culmination of Easter and the birth of something new. Jesus, the risen one, the Lord of life, sends the Holy Spirit, and the life-giving fire and breath of God flows through the followers and friends of Jesus with the great message that something new has dawned. It's a new day. All is being made new. A path is opened for everyone. God is in our midst. The day of God is now. God's Spirit is pouring out on us and through us, and we bring you visions and dreams, even in these dark times. Even now, even in the midst of blood and fire and smoky mist, this is the coming of God's great and glorious day. Come and see. Come and drink. Come and breathe. Come and receive the fire of God's passionate love. In case you didn't sense it yet, I completely love this feast day and this account from the book of Acts. I'm taken up in hope and joy every time I hear this, especially on the day of Pentecost. It's a day of new creation, and the power of new creation is shared with us. We share the Holy Spirit's power in spreading the power of this new creation, this reclaiming of all things to become all that God has created us to be. New life, new breath, new fire. This is the vision we need in a world where people snuff life from each other, where they take the breath from others, where they set upon others' places with destructive fire. We've watched this week as things have unraveled again in our land. Racism and racial hatred are killing us all. The killing of George Floyd by Officer Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. The lying fake emergency call to 911 by Amy Cooper in New York, where she claimed to be being attacked by Christian Cooper, a bird watcher. The protests that have been mutated and manipulated by different groups, including white nationalists, into acts of destruction and rioting. These are nothing short of wicked, willful, sinful acts aimed at destruction of life. It is racial hatred and the sin of smug self-righteousness that fans these destructive flames and chokes life from victims and from the sinners themselves. And these are the forces that assembled to crucify the upstart Jew in the first century, even by his own tribes and culture, and by also those lawless ones who held power and did the deed. But now the story turns. This upstart Jew, Jesus, has been raised from the dead and is now ascended as the Lord of all life. And his power of love is now our power of love. Hear it. Hear it in every language, for every place and every people. Christ is risen. Life wins. This is a day of new life. It is the great day of crossing the threshold for the church, when we come out of hiding and make ourselves known to the world, when the Holy Spirit flows, and when we follow the flow willingly. It's been happening through the ages. It will continue on, with or without us. God's Spirit, the Spirit of life, flows through all creation and all humanity and stirs us, lures us, and beckons us, tugs us to new life and new ways of being. So we hear three stories today of the coming of the Holy Spirit. One from the Torah, from the book of Numbers, when the Hebrew people were in the wilderness and God's Spirit came upon the elders so that they spoke great words of truth inside and outside the tent. Another from the great day in Jerusalem when the disciples burst from their rooms into the streets to speak good news, and when the Holy Spirit gave them power to communicate across the barriers of language and culture. And then one from the Gospel of John, when Jesus appears to his disciples in a closed room after his resurrection and breathes on them just as God breathed on the first humans with the breath of life. So, friends, hang with me while I dig into a few little nuggets in the Gospel. These really jumped out at me as my Lutheran and Presbyterian buddies and I studied the text earlier this week. So we're going to do just a little bit of Greek here, just a few nuggets, I promise. First, receive the Holy Spirit, is what Jesus says. And when Jesus says this, the Greek for receive here more often is translated in other places in Scripture as take, like taking hold of something. Jesus says this word when giving his disciples the bread, for instance, take and eat. Now he breathes on them and says the same word, take or receive the Holy Spirit. The word then is more active than just passive receiving. This is not an invitation to a passive position where the disciples are just supposed to sit back and have the Holy Spirit spoon-fed to them or infused into them by drip. It is a position of invitation, just as Jesus says when he offers the bread to his disciples. Jesus is saying, take to yourselves and take into yourselves what I'm giving you. So maybe we don't just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and infuse us. We intentionally open ourselves, open the gates wide to receive. That itself is an action, And then we take hold of the one we receive. Second, Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, this is a difficult passage for us. These are serious words, a serious charge laid to us, as if we begin to sit in the seat of judgment. And some have taken these words too far. So, what are we to make of such responsibility given to us by Jesus? Let's take a look at the word retained. The Greek word translated here as retain also means to seize, to lay hold of, to take custody of. It's the same verb used when the soldiers seize or take hold of Jesus when they arrest him. So what happens when we retain the sins of others or of ourselves? Things get retained. They get stuck. And they don't just get stuck in the others whose sins we are retaining or holding, as if to teach them a lesson. No, they get stuck in us too, because we are the ones holding them or retaining them. I think Jesus is telling us to be very cautious with this charge. There may be times when the sins of any perhaps should be retained, but that is rare and should not be treated as a permanent position like a knee upon the neck of someone trying to breathe. The first invitation and the key message of the new creation is forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we seize and take hold of someone's sins, we ourselves remain occupied and seized. Will we instead take hold of the freedom of God offered in the Holy Spirit and set ourselves and others free? So finally, one last thing, one last interesting bit from the Gospel of John today. The story is told in the past tense. We are at the scene where Jesus appeared to his disciples, where he breathed on them. But there's one verb that is in the present tense, and it kind of jumps out from the Greek. It's when Jesus speaks. Now, it doesn't get translated that way because things kind of get smoothed over in the translation, but the Greek word for he says is in the present tense, intentionally, twice here. So here's how this sounds. Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he says to them, "Peace to you." And later, he breathed on them, and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, hang with me, folks. I think this is really exciting and really important. All the language around these two sayings of Jesus are past tense. This is the event of Jesus appearing to his disciples after the resurrection. And so it's being told in the past tense as something that happened. But these two actions of speaking are Jesus speaking in the present tense. All this happened. And in the midst of the story, we're sucked into the moment as the present moment. And Jesus comes right out into the present to us. And he says, "Peace to you. And here, take hold of the Spirit." These are things that Jesus is always saying, always, in all times and places. Then to his disciples, long before, to the elders of the Hebrew people in the wilderness, both inside and outside the tent, inside and outside the camp. Long before that, to all creation, as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters and as humanity was given the breath of life. Jesus Christ, the Lord of life and love, is always saying these things through the ages, through the suffering ages of the early church in ancient Rome, through the plagues and wars of the Middle Ages, to families and communities across the world, through times of progress and times of regress, in times of great spiritual revival and in times of more uncertainty. Today, even today, across this country that is having trouble finding its own way, today, on the streets of protest. Today, where families mourn the deaths from this viral pandemic and from the longer pandemic of racism. Today, in households and communities of every kind. Everywhere, Jesus comes forth into the present and says, for everyone who is willing to hear and listen, peace to you. And receive and take the Holy Spirit. The moment is always now. The Holy Spirit's breaking into our lives is always possible now. Friends, open yourselves. Cast the doors wide open for the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit flow through you and in you, remaking you. And take the Holy Spirit and follow the flow and fire. You will speak and hear God's amazing good news. Wherever you are, out on the streets, in your homes, God is with you. Go and follow, go and speak, go and hear. Amen.